Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents I Am Transformed, 40 Days to Unleash the Power of Your God-Given Identity by Sons and Daughters. Narrated by Arden Bevere, Christian Bevere, Addison D. Bevere, and Juliana Bevere.
How to use this book. Have you ever noticed pets and their owners who look way too much alike? Like it's borderline creepy, or married couples who over the years have begun to look more and more the same, or friend groups who dress, talk, and even laugh alike, even though they'd all probably deny it. It's not a bad thing to look like someone you love or admire. In fact, it's human nature. We do the same thing with God, actually. The more time we spend with Him, and the more time we live like Him and love like Him, the goal of this 40-day devotional experience is based on that idea. Each day, we'll look at a unique truth about God and a corresponding truth about ourselves. That order is important. First God, then us. Too often, we get this backwards. We think we must take the lead and let God do His work in our wake. We believe it's up to us to impress God, convince God, or even manipulate God by polishing our lives to perfection. Really, we just need to reflect God. We were created in His image after all. It's only natural that we should resemble Him. The more we understand who He is, the more His image begins to shine in us, and the more we become like Him in our day-to-day lives. We start by looking at Him, and we end up looking like Him as we surrender and let His goodness and greatness transform us from the inside out. Remember, God already loves us. He's our Father, our friend, our Lord, and our biggest fan. Our relationship with Him is not in danger. He's not stressing out about our accomplishments or our maturity level or our marital status or our career progress or any of the other things that so often puncture our self-esteem. Instead, He's inviting us to follow Him, to learn from Him, and to become like Him. Again, that's the heart behind this interactive devotional, which consists of 40 entries loosely organized under what we call our I Am Covenant. You might want to listen through the devotional over 40 days, or you might prefer to cover one section per week for 7 weeks, whichever works best for you. Each devotional is broken up into these four sections. Rest. Before you jump into the main part of the devotional, we encourage you to take 2 full minutes or more to settle your mind and emotions. This might be harder than you expect. It's a lot easier to keep your mind busy than it is to keep it calm, but calm is what you need. Consider setting a timer so you do not rush too quickly through this section. Take a moment to listen to the introductory text, then simply breathe. Pay attention to what you are feeling. Maybe God wants to speak into some of those areas today. If so, that's His role. Yours is to trust, to rest, to wait, to obey. Once your thoughts and heart are settled, move on to the read portion. Read. In this section, we look at two things: a quality or trait of God and a parallel application in our lives. We look at who God is and how His nature is reflected in us. The goal of this section isn't to be overly complicated, but it's not intended to offer cliche or superficial answers either. We will look at questions we all face, and we will ask what God's nature and image mean for us on an intensely practical level. The truths we examine are all based on Scripture, and we've included references within the text. If you'd like to dive deeper into any topic, there are also 2 or 3 passages for additional thought included at the end of each reading. Reflect. Each devotional includes 3 questions to help you reflect and apply what you just heard. These are completely personal, so there's no answer key. They are simply starting points for self-evaluation. If you are listening to this devotional on your own, you might want to write the answers in a notebook or a separate journal. If you are listening to this with a group and would prefer to discuss them aloud, these questions can lead to deep, healthy conversations. Respond. We've left some space at the end of each devotional for hands-on interaction with the topic. Whether you consider yourself artistic or not, we invite you to take a few moments to express what you're feeling in some creative, personal way. That might be through poetry, an outline, brainstorming, a sketch, song lyrics, abstract art, doodles, a metaphor, creative writing, or anything else that fits who you are and how you think. Have fun with this section. It is yours to do with it as you please, to express yourself freely. It just might become your favorite part of the day. And that's it. You're ready to begin. Part 1. I am holy. I am holy, so I stand out from the crowd. I recognize that holiness is so much more than following the rules. Holiness is not an attempt to just be good enough. Rather, it's my journey of embracing everything my Father has for me, a journey into the beauty, wonder, and majesty of what it is to be a child of God and share in His nature. It is His nature within us that makes me stand out. God's holiness transforms every area of my life, and because of His Spirit and grace, I can be holy in thought, word, and deed. To be holy is to be whole. To be holy is to be His. I am holy, so I stand out from the crowd. Day 1. God is perfect, so I am growing. Rest. As you get started today, take 2 minutes to simply be still. Let the stress and hurry and noise of life fade into the background as your spirit comes alive. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in again. Focus on exchanging stress for peace, shame for confidence, fear for courage. When you are finished, whisper to yourself, I am loved, I am holy, I am complete, I am enough. Read what perfect really means. Is there anything in your life that has to be perfect, or else you start to go a little crazy? Maybe you can't stand clutter around the house, or everything on your desk needs to be exactly in its place before you can concentrate, or you try on 17 different clothing combinations every morning until your outfit is a flawless work of art. We are all perfectionists in at least a few areas, and in other areas, not so much. You can probably think of some things you don't care that much about, so you don't try too hard to perfect them. That's normal. The problem is when the things you don't care about are precisely the things your roommate or spouse obsesses over, or vice versa. At that point, either someone has to change or sparks will fly. Perfection and chaos cannot coexist, right? Wrong. Just look at God, then look at us. God is perfect in every way, not just a few. We are far from perfect, and yet He doesn't roll His eyes at us while dropping passive-aggressive, semi-snarky comments about the dishes we left in the sink, metaphorically speaking. You see, we tend to think of perfection as just being free from sin, error, or weakness. The issue is that we are works in progress. We make mistakes. We suffer lack. We struggle with weakness. So if perfect means never messing up, we might as well give up now. We're set for failure. In the Bible, though, the term perfect refers to the idea of becoming complete. It alludes to maturity, wholeness, or fullness. We often see this term used to encourage growth in a variety of areas. For example, on one occasion, Jesus was teaching about loving everyone, even our enemies. He instructed His listeners to share His wide, expansive, unconditional love with all, including their enemies. Then He pointed to how God caused His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. A few verses later, He concluded with this summary. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Verse 48. Do you see the connection in this passage between becoming better at love and becoming more perfect? When Jesus said, be perfect, He wasn't commanding us to meet an impossible moral standard of some obsessive, perfectionistic deity. Rather, He was challenging us to become as complete in our love as God is in His. If we want to be like Him, we need to have a diverse, wide, inclusive, open-armed love, even for those who don't like us or go out of their way to oppose us. But love is just one of God's qualities. He is complete in every sense. He is perfectly wise, strong, good, true, faithful, kind, pure, and generous. He lacks nothing and has everything. As children of God, who are made in His image, we are called to become complete or whole, to grow in holiness. In a spiritual sense, we are already complete. That is an important truth to keep in mind, particularly when the process of personal growth is slower than we'd like. In Christ, we are children of God, loved, approved, and accepted by Him. Jesus is our advocate, so we have nothing to fear and nothing to prove. But our journey towards perfection is a work in progress. That's obvious, right? We all have room to grow, not because we are trying to avoid disappointing a perfectionist God, but because we believe we can be as complete and whole as He created us to be. Perfection is a process to embrace, not a goal to reach. The good news is God is committed to that growth process. In fact, it was His idea. That's why Paul wrote, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. What areas are you lacking in today? Where would you like to grow? What part of your inner or outer world needs to be made whole? Today, as you pray, express those things to God and let His perfection encourage you towards growth. For further thought, read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Reflect. Question 1. Is it hard to believe that you are already enough in God's eyes? Why or why not? Question 2. In what areas would you like to grow and become more complete? Question 3. What is the good work that God began in you? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. What are some specific ways He might carry it on to completion? Respond. During your devotional time, use this space to creatively express what the concept of growing and becoming whole means to you. For example, you might jot down your thoughts about God's perfection, draw something that illustrates how you feel on this journey, or write a poem about who you are becoming.
Day 2. God is wise, so I am teachable. Rest. Take a moment to focus your thoughts on God. There's no rush, no hurry, no better place to be. Mentally release into God's hands anything negative or painful that you are feeling. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Then tell yourself, I am safe and loved. I am holy and whole. I am wise and teachable. Read. You might be wrong. One of the best things about social media is that it gives everyone a platform to express their opinion about anything and everything. Right? It's awesome. Except when it's not. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, but sometimes those opinions can get a little intense. We've all seen more than a few narrow-minded posts, spiteful comments, and ignorant replies. They get our blood boiling and our brains spinning. How can someone possibly think that? Responding is useless, we know that, but the temptation is too much to resist sometimes. After all, what if our carefully crafted, semi-sarcastic response is exactly what that person needs to finally understand the point they seem to be missing? So we compose our thoughts, type our comeback, and hit send. It doesn't help, of course, but at least we feel a little bit better after blowing off steam. Until they reply anyway. Then the crazy cycle continues. We all have opinions, and that's a beautiful thing. It really is. Even when those opinions clash, and even when they are not expressed with wisdom or tact, at least we have the capacity to reason, to debate, and to grow. And that's a gift from God. He wants us to learn, and He often uses other fallible human beings to challenge or adjust our assumptions. The problem arises when we forget that our opinion is simply that. It's ours, and it's an opinion. Ours means it's personal. It's a belief we stand by and a mindset we hold to. Other people can and should have their own opinions, and we need to respect each other enough to walk in love, even when we strongly disagree. Opinion means it's not fact. This is hard to accept because we all want to be certain about what we believe. We assume that if we study, reason, and learn enough about a particular topic, we will arrive at the truth. Then we will never have to study or reason or learn again. Let's be honest, though. We are finite, fallible, fickle human beings. We don't know everything because we're not God. Even the truths we think we know must be held with an open hand because we might be wrong. That shouldn't discourage us, but it should humble us. Even more than that, it should point us to the one who does have absolute truth. God doesn't deal in opinions, guesses, estimates, or assumptions. He never has to change his mind or backtrack his statements because he's never wrong. He is the ultimate source of knowledge and understanding. God doesn't keep his wisdom to himself, though. He shares it with us. James wrote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Chapter 1, verse 5. And even Solomon said, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. That doesn't necessarily mean God will give you the perfect comeback for that online debate, but it does mean he will help you live wisely and well. If you are willing to learn, he will show you how to make good decisions, how to handle your money, how to love people better, how to find inner peace, how to establish good habits, and more. That wisdom rarely comes in the form of an audible voice from heaven. God typically uses less dramatic channels of communication to shape us, including, as we noted, humans with opinions that don't line up with ours. He also uses the Bible, which is the best and most objective source of his wisdom. And along with that, God's Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, guides us into all truth as we collect experiences, counsel, logic, common sense, and more. God is committed to our growth, and he uses whatever means necessary to speak to our hearts and minds if we take the time to listen. So what is your role in this process? First, be teachable. That means holding your opinions with an open hand, allowing God to lead you, and being willing to change your mind. Second, seek wisdom. This is your responsibility, not God's. Personal growth requires hard work and a good dose of humility. You'll get out of the growth process what you are willing to put into it. Third, respond quickly. It's not enough to just know what's right. You also need to put your understanding into practice by making real changes. And finally, keep growing. Learning comes in stages. Just because you learned something today doesn't mean you won't need to learn it again tomorrow. How about you? Where do you need God's wisdom today? Choose to be open, teachable, and humble. Then get ready. Answers will come. For further thought, read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Reflect. Question 1. How would you define wisdom? Question 2. Is it easy or hard for you to change your mind? Why is that? Question 3. If you could learn about any topic or grow in any area, what would it be? Why? Respond. Think about God's vast wisdom and imagine yourself as a continual learner, receiving from him. What does it mean to you that God knows everything, that you are always growing, that God's truth brings so much life and freedom? Describe or illustrate these truths in whatever creative way feels best to you.
Day 3. God is unchanging, so I am consistent. Rest. There are a lot of things you don't know and a lot of things you can't control. Think about that for a moment and make peace with it. Then let it go. Let go of expectations. Let go of the illusion of control. Let go of the tyranny of perfection. Let go of the labels and the limits that hold you back. Take a couple of minutes to be fully present, fully you. Finish by whispering, "I am me, I am here, and I matter." Read. Taking up space. You ever been stood up by someone? It's not a great feeling. Nobody wants to be ignored, forgotten, or snubbed, and none of us like to have our time wasted. There are exceptions, of course. If your dentist accidentally double-booked herself and stood you up for a root canal, you probably wouldn't be all that upset. If an IRS auditor got lost trying to find your office and instead decided to cancel the audit he had planned, you call it God's divine intervention. But for the most part, standing someone up is not okay. We've all been there. We've probably all done it to others. Hopefully it wasn't on purpose, but let's be real. We make mistakes. We agree to help somebody move and forget to show up. We set a date to hang out with a friend and then plan a trip out of town. We promise to go to our boss's party, knowing we'll probably find an excuse to cancel at the last minute. God, on the other hand, has never stood anyone up, and he never will. He doesn't forget to write things down in his calendar. He doesn't overbook himself. He doesn't bail at the last minute. He doesn't ignore us, forget us, or snub us. The prophet Balaam said this about God. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. In the story that verse is taken from, God had promised to bless Israel, but an enemy king was trying to convince Balaam to curse Israel instead. The king thought Balaam had some special power to manipulate his deity into doing whatever he wanted. Balaam made it clear to the king that nobody tells God what to do. If God had decided to bless his people, no king or prophet or army was going to get in his way. Why? Because God wouldn't go back on his word. Ever. God has also promised to bless you. And like the story of Balaam and Israel, he's not going to change his mind. Chances are you don't have a literal human enemy trying to bribe prophets to curse you. That would be weird. But maybe you have a voice in your head trying to speak evil over you. Perhaps a mocking whisper echoes inside your mind, insisting you aren't enough, your failures are too great, your strength is too small. Rather than letting that voice convince you that your mistakes have torpedoed your future, turn to God. Let his unchanging, unwavering, unalterable word build your faith. God is the only one who is never going to give you up, never going to let you down. No offense, Rick Astley. In all seriousness, though, God really won't let you down. He doesn't change his mind, his word, his will, or his ways. You can always count on him. As the author of Hebrews famously wrote, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Chapter 13, verse 8. Don't let the ups and downs of life convince you otherwise. You do have a role to play in all this, of course. God will show up for you, but you have to show up for life. You were created in the image of a faithful God. You are called to be faithful, not just in your appointments, your social calendar, but in who you are and how you live. That means taking up the space God called you to fill. It means showing up, standing up, rising up, speaking up. Do your best to be consistent and faithful day in and day out. God doesn't ask you to be perfect, but he does ask you to be consistent. It's not about never failing or falling. Consistency is simply about showing up over and over. And if you do fall down, it's about getting back up. How can you show up for life today? How can you show up for others, for God? You can't know everything or control everything, but you can strive for consistency in what you do. And in the long run, that will take you where you want to go. For further thought, read Psalm chapter 103, verses 13 to 18, and James chapter 1, verse 17. Reflect. Question 1. Have you ever felt let down by God? How did you deal with that? Question 2. Is it hard for you to believe that you matter? Why or why not? Question 3. What are some areas where you could improve at showing up or being consistent? Respond. Write or draw something that is inspired by the unchanging, always faithful reality of God. How could you describe or illustrate these characteristics? Is there a symbol, a picture, or a metaphor that explains how you feel?
Day 4. God is one, so I am whole. Rest. God is love. Imagine yourself enveloped by love, safe and warm, comforted and comfortable. Visualize yourself becoming one with God, one with love. Let him fill any cracks in your heart, your mind, or your emotions. Let him make you whole. Now take a minute to simply be still. You don't have to do anything or say anything. Just rest in his love for as long as you need to. When you are ready, repeat to yourself, I am complete. I am whole. I am healthy. I am holy. Read. How to be yourself. I'm just not myself today. It's probably safe to say we've all said something like that at some point, most likely as an apology of sorts, an explanation of why we've been acting a bit off. Maybe you snapped at your roommate because they forgot to take out the garbage, or you were distracted when your boss was trying to explain something, or you felt frustrated with your significant other about some dumb thing that normally wouldn't matter. When you realized that the problem was you, not the world around you, you admitted with a tinge of embarrassment, "I'm just not feeling like myself." Then you hopefully got a coffee or took a nap or ate lunch or scheduled a vacation or did something else to become yourself again. To pull back into alignment the emotions, thoughts, or health issues that were disordered. Sometimes this fragmentation goes deeper than a momentary lapse of manners. It could be a lifestyle. You might find yourself playing a part, trying to meet expectations, smiling on the outside but struggling on the inside. Over time, that becomes exhausting. You realize there is a disconnect between who people think you are and who you really are, between who you are and who you want to be, or how you are acting and what you truly value. The answer to finding wholeness depends on where your fragmentation comes from. There is no quick fix to becoming the same person on the inside and the outside, to being consistent in every situation. A good way to start, though, is by drawing near to God. Wholeness begins with God. Why? Because He is whole. He is not fractured or fragmented. God is congruent and complete, unchanging and unchangeable. He is holy. He doesn't alter His behavior out of fear of rejection. His emotions don't change because He missed breakfast. No matter what, God acts in accordance with who He is. And who He is love. God's oneness and God's love are connected. Think about it. God is always true to love. He cannot act outside of love because love is who He is. His pure, unselfish love defines everything He does. God is guided by love, committed to love, and motivated by love. Notice how the Apostle John linked God's oneness to His love. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. John mentioned the Spirit, the Father, and the Son, all in the context of love. He was showing us how the Trinity, or the three-person nature of God, is united in love, and how that love unites us to God. John went on to say that love is made complete in us, and divine love drives out fear and makes us perfect in love. Verses 17 and 18. Love can mean different things to different people, but God's oneness is defined by holy love, and He completes us in that love. Selfishness has no place in God's holiness, so His love always brings out the best in us. What does that mean for you? When you aren't feeling yourself, or when you are trying to figure out who yourself even is, love is the best place to turn. A lifestyle characterized by love will always be more whole, more authentic, and more congruent than a lifestyle characterized by selfishness or fear. It is a holy life. The same love that makes God so authentic can bring wholeness to you, not just when your roommate is getting on your nerves or your kids are making you question your sanity, but also when you are struggling to figure out who you are or why God put you on this planet in the first place. In those confusing, faltering moments, let God's love give you purpose. Let it define you, direct you, unite you. How does love heal the fractures and close the fissures of the soul? In other words, how does God's holiness make us whole? In many ways, by affirming who you are right now, to start with. by aligning your priorities and guiding your decisions, by giving you courage to lay down your old sense.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?